is the 435th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, a podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter for the AJC, and we're going to preview the upcoming game between the Falcons and the New York Jets. We have a special guest today, Emmanuel Morgan from the New York Times, to help us preview the upcoming game. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We have a special guest with us today, Emmanuel Morgan of the New York Times. He's a sports and culture reporter, and if you've been a listener to the Bowtie Chronicles, you know that he's one of our former interns at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We're proud of what he's doing up in New York, and we figure we'd bring him on to help us get ready for the upcoming game against the New York Jets. Emmanuel, tell the folks here in Atlanta or, you know, everywhere that they can hear the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, what you've been doing since you left the AJC as one of our superstar interns.
Miss you, man. Nah, it's been good. Yeah, with the LA Times for a little bit, now with the New York Times on the entertainment desk covering how sports and culture intersect. So it's been cool. Yeah, I was covering the NFL for 3 years. Now looking more holistically at, like, how sports and entertainment intersect. So Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift, Super Bowl halftime show, that kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. So you've been following Taylor Swift around?
Not following her.
Well, okay. I'm sure that that's another podcast, but we'll have you back for that. Maybe in the summer when we get a little lull between the OTAs and training camp, and get your Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce stories. But hey, you know, you've been in New York, the Jets. I mean, the hype was real. They won the offseason. They had Aaron Rodgers. And then, you know, everything just turned as soon as he got hurt in the first series of the season. What's it been like in New York for the Jets faithful who have seen their team sink to 4-7?
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Literally, like, so, like, my last game that I covered as, like, a true sports reporter was the Monday night game against the Bills. So, like, I was there when he tore his Achilles. Yeah, like, literally, like, four snaps in, he tore it. And it's wild because they had all the hype going into the offseason. Like, they're a quarterback away because they have all the skill positions they need. They have a very talented defense, one of the best defense in the league. So, like, all they need was a quarterback to kind of push them over the hump. And they thought they had that. And then four steps into the season, it just fell apart. So, yeah, the all along their backup plan was to, like, have Zach Wilson kind of be under Aaron all year, kind of watch him play, kind of, like, learn from him. And hopefully within, like, 2 or 3 years, have him get started. But that plan got expedited with Aaron getting hurt. And I guess he wasn't prepared to take the oversighting job yet. As we saw, like, last year, like, he basically got in the same position he was last year. Not really in terms of, like, being prepared to run NFL offense. And it showed, like, the team is bottom half of the league in points, bottom half of the league in yards. And it's kind of frustrating because the defense is keeping the team in games, but the offense can't score enough points or move the ball enough to kind of capitalize on that. We kind of saw that last week with the game against Miami. the defense got a few turnovers, but the offense couldn't like capitalize on it. So, yeah, it's a little frustrating because the defense is like very, very good, but the offense just can't pull its weight. Mm-hmm.
And I'm just looking at it. Tim Boyle is supposed to start again. Why can't they just run the ball with Breece Hall and Dalvin Cook? Just run the ball. Forget about throwing. You can't throw. You got, you know, I know you got Garrett Wilson, but have they tried that?
They've tried it. I mean, like Breece and Garrett are like the two biggest like threats they have on offense. Alan Lazard just dropped a few passes. He was inactive last week. Randall Cobb is kind of just like in and out. He's mostly there to kind of like help with like Aaron and kind of like be his kind of support receiver. So, yeah, like on offense right now, like they're really like kind of struggling in terms of like what they want to do. Like if defenses know that they want to run the ball to Breece, and then they can prepare for that. And the O-line has been kind of shaky like all season. A lot of different lineups with the O-line, and that was kind of one of the main kind of touch points in the offseason. Like, hey, like how does O-line perform even with Aaron there? So Aaron not being there, it kind of made the problem like even more glaring, I would say. So yeah, They could try to run a Breece, but like the defenses know like what they're trying to do, so they kind of stack up against it.
And Garrett was selected right after the Falcons took Drake London. A lot of people had Wilson higher. His production's better: 64, 695, and 3 touchdowns with no quarterback, basically. And so, you know, I don't know if the Falcons. I know they took Drake because of the speed size combination. And how's Garrett? Looks like everybody's frustrated now, but you know, how's he playing? And what does he provide? And then this Tyler Conklin is also showing up on my radar, the tight end from Central Michigan.
Yeah, so I mean, Garrett's like, all they considered like Garrett's playing well. I mean, they can't really, the offense came with the ball, so like it's hard to like quote unquote say anyone's playing well. But I mean, Garrett's still getting open. He's still catching most of the passes that are coming to him. So, I mean, he's playing well. And then Conklin's showing up too. They added CJ Uzama last year. So he was supposed to like kind of take that step. But Conklin is the main tight end right now. So, I mean, all things considered, I mean, it's hard to say anyone on the offense playing well. But, I mean, Garrett's still getting open, still getting separation. He's catching most of the passes that come to him. So, I mean, like, it's what they're asking the offense to do is really kind of hard. Because, like, they don't have a quarterback to – like, or the O-line to really support, like, what they're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And so moving over to defense, you got Quincy Williams and Quinnen Williams. So can you discuss the Williams brothers over there?
Yeah, I guess in general, like, the defense is playing well. Like, in all three phases, like, they have really strong players. You have Quincy Williams on the D-line. You have... Quinnen Williams on D-line. You have Quincy Williams and T.J. Mosley as linebackers. And then you have DJ Reed, Sauce Gardner, and then Whitehead in safety in D-backs. So literally all the whole defense is stout from top to bottom. And they've been trying to pull their weight. I mean, they when you watch them, like you can tell that like they know that they have to win the game. They know they have to keep the points low, and they got to get turnovers just for them to even have a chance. And so they ask your defense to do that all the time. It's very, very, like, you can tell that they're trying to press and trying to, like, do more than they feel they should. So, yeah, like, it's still on balance watching this team, like, every week. But the defense is one of the bright spots for sure.
And could you tell us about Sauce Gardner? He had a great rookie year with 20 pass breakups. How is he holding up, second-year guy? From Cincinnati, a good friend of Falcons quarterback Desmond Ridder. How's he playing this year?
He's playing well. I mean, the team is targeting him a little bit more. I know some fans are saying that he gets away a little bit of PI, which he might like from time to time. But no, I mean he's playing well for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you know, seen some stuff in the news about Aaron Rodgers and whether he's coming back. He's back in New Jersey full time. What's the latest on Aaron?
Yeah, he was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today. He said that he's trying to come back, but it depends on like how his recovery is, and like where the Jets are in the playoff race. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, he did the procedure, like the speed bridge to on his Achilles to try to make the healing process go a little bit faster. And he did it with Neil Eltrash. I was like one of the best surgeons in the country. I mean, he's done ACLs for Burrow. He did it for Joey Bosa, Tom Brady, Kobe Bryant. So like he got the right doctor to do it for him. I guess just it's hard to believe that he'll come back, but I mean you never count Aaron Rodgers out for anything. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, the Jets are 4-7. They lost their last four in a row. How could they beat the Atlanta Falcons?
I mean, the defense just has to play like lights out, like not turn the ball. I mean, not get some turnovers, keep the points low. And then offense just has to show some semblance of being able to like move the ball to score. So, I mean, yeah, it's, that's formula for like how the Jets can be anyone now. Just got to play really lights out defense, get turnovers, and then offense has to like capitalize on one of those turnovers.
Yeah, and then just lastly, getting out of here, just popped in my mind, how are the, you know, Lazard, you mentioned him, saw Randall Cobb on the roster, you know, all those guys that came over to, you know, make it easier for Aaron Rodgers, how are they doing as far as Packers East go? And, you know, are they still hopeful that, you know, if he doesn't come back this year, hey, you know, next year we can, you know, they'll be able to put it together and make a run. Well, I guess he'll be 40 or 39 next year.
Yeah, 40. Lazard was inactive last week. Salah said he wanted to give like younger players some opportunities to play. And Cobb is like, he's been playing, but he's like not really been a factor in most games. So, yeah, I guess the Jets are just trying to see like what they have in these young guys right now. So we'll see what happens next year when Rodgers is back and he's like on the field and he wants the guys on the field. But I guess it's in his absence and in the absence of any strong quarterback play right now, they want to see like what the guys on the bottom end of the roster can do.
And just lastly, wrapping up, can you sum up for us? You know, we saw Zach Wilson the last time they played. It was over in London. The Falcons went out 20-3 and then cruised to victory 20-27 in Tottenham Stadium in London. You know, so the fans got to see him, but it looked like he never got better. You know, you could see the athletic ability, but, you know, the ability to read defenses and, you know, even like function and hit, you know, basic plays looked like it was a struggle for him. But, I thought it would have been better by the third year, but it doesn't look like it. And just sum up for us how he played and, you know, how they wasted the second overall pick on a quarterback who can't play.
Yeah, that's a million-dollar question. Yeah, I mean, they thought he just needed more time to learn from someone like Aaron. So, like, the plan this year was just have him sit back and watch Aaron learn from him in practice and kind of see that like how he goes about things. But obviously like Aaron getting hurt, they had to expedite the process and he had to play. So yeah, one of the criticisms that people have had is like the Jets didn't really have a good kind of backup plan. Cause I mean, if you wanted to do that, that's fine. You can have Zach sit and watch Aaron, but you saw Zach play last year. You saw that he still needs improvement. So you didn't have a good backup plan, and you thought that you rest like your whole season on Aaron being healthy, which as you saw, only takes like one play and you can get hurt and be done for the year. So the Jets really didn't have a good backup plan this season to kind of prepare in case Aaron got hurt, and they're paying for that right now.
And now when he got hurt, we could look back at it now and say, hey, they should have got a veteran quarterback. They should have traded for Kirk Cousins. Matt Ryan still doing his TV thing. You know, Joe Flacco just signed with somebody, I think Cleveland. And he was there the year before, 2 years before. Yeah, he was there last year because he played in the exhibition game. So are people saying that, hey, the Jets front office has messed it up again? They should have went and got a veteran quarterback.
They should have done something. Because, yeah, like they went into this offseason with Zach as the backup, And they saw all last year just that he wasn't ready to be a starter. And they assumed that Aaron would just like be healthy all year, but they assumed wrong. So yeah, they could do a lot of things, but yeah, they're in a situation that they're in now.
So is Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh, are they safe up there, or we're gonna be hearing about a coaching and general manager change here in the off season?
We'll see. Saleh said that he hadn't heard anything. Like he didn't really talk about job security this week. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, I guess that they can say that, hey, like we thought we had a really good defense, and we thought that we had a good quarterback, so we thought that we could have a good year. I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah, I'm not as plugged in as I was before, so I can't really give you any kind of sourcing one in terms of that. But yeah, I mean, it can go both ways. I mean, it could really be like, hey, like Woody Johnson, the owner, could be like, hey, like you raised this second overall pick, or he can be like, yeah, like we thought Aaron would do well, and then he got hurt. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, hey, Emmanuel, appreciate you coming on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Used to enjoy our time out at Flowery Branch when you were interning with us, and glad to see you off to a great start in your young career. Many years to go here for you. We wish you the best of luck. You know, call us anytime you need anything down here, and we got your back in the ATL. And thanks for coming on the Bowtie Chronicles podcast.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. We'll do the Taylor Swift podcast in the summer for sure.
Okay, no problem. Thanks. I'm going to hold you to that. Take care. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
We're back here at the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you can get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, we're back here. We're going to get into some of the news and notes here on the New York Jets, the Falcons' upcoming opponent. It's, they're having a tough time up there. Got a lot here to get through. And we're going to start with Timmy Boyle. He played at Connecticut and Eastern Kentucky. He played against the Falcons on December the 26th, 2021, in Coach Arthur Smith's first year when he was with the Detroit Football Lions. That was a 20-16 win by the Falcons there. And, so they've seen Boyle before as a starting quarterback. In that game, he was 24-34 for 187, one touchdown, one interception, and 81.4. passer rating. As we alluded to, the Jets do have a rushing attack. Breece Hall is back. He had the injury. He was having a great rookie year last year, but he's back. Averaging 4.6 a carry and two touchdowns, 569 yards. They picked up Dalvin Cook when they were making their, they thought they were going to the Super Bowl. And he has 50 carries for 162 yards. So that's a sign that he's on the back, he's on a downslide here. Is not averaging 4 yards a carry. Now, Garrett Wilson, the top receiver, is 64 catches for 695 and three touchdowns. And Tyler Conklin, 39 catches for 414 yards. So against Miami in their most recent game on the Prime Day game, on Prime Friday, on Black Friday, they lost 34-13. But it got sideways. They only ran the ball 10 times. And so Boyle was 27-38 for 178. One touchdown, two interceptions, and a 67.8 passer rating. And they were doing a bunch of short stuff. He's a big kid. He's 6'4", 232. So, you know, big kid, you know, pocket passer type. But they were throwing short, quick stuff. Wilson had 7 catches for 44. Breece Hall had 7 for 24. There's a Breece and a Bryce Hall on the Jets, so that's going to drive the announcers crazy, I know. But so offensively, that's what they got. The running backs, the wide receiver, and the tight end. They, like Emmanuel said, when we get to the tail of the tape, they haven't been able to put much together. 8 out of our 10 categories for them are in the bottom half of the league. Falcons only have, they're 5 out of 10. So those numbers are holding up as the season marches on. Defensively, they do have 28 sacks. The sack leaders are Bryce Huff with 6 and Jermaine Johnson, the former UGA player who transferred to Florida State. He has 5. And then Quentin Jefferson, who played at Maryland, he has 4.5 sacks. So they do have a pass rush, and those guys are living off of Quinnen Williams because he's getting a push. People got to double-team him, and then the outside guys are getting one-on-ones. Now, the Jets opened in a 3-3-5 nickel against the Dolphins, you know, just trying to stay on top of Tyreek Hill. Their leading tacklers are C.J. Mosley at inside linebacker. He's got 115 total tackles, 64 solos. Quincy Williams, Quinnen's brother, is the leading tackle as far as solos go. He has 69 and 96 total. He's an outside linebacker. And then cornerback DJ Reed's got 47 solo tackles and 55 total. So he comes up and runs support. And he's getting a lot of action because everybody's staying away from Sauce Gardner. And one of the safeties will be familiar to you all. It's Jordan Whitehead, formerly of Tampa Bay. He has 4 interceptions. Now, you know, when you do play to other teams, I try to make sure when they really have a special player that y'all know about them before the game. You know, like last week, you know, we've been talking about Cam Jordan for years now, but just getting to see him play now. Later in his career, you know, he's an 8-time Pro Bowl, pretty much going to be a Hall of Famer here before it's said and done. So, but this kid's off to a great start here. Sauce Gardner, he's part of that Cincinnati team that went to the playoffs with Desmond Ridder as a quarterback. He was holding it down on defense. He was, I want to say he was the 4th overall pick in the draft last in 2022. And Sauce is 6'3", 200. Teams are completing only 65.8% of the passes that go his way. 25 for 273 and 1 touchdown. Now, he does have 12 missed tackles this year. So, you know, you might want to challenge him in the run game. He only had 5 last year when he was named All-Pro and to the Pro Bowl as a rookie. He's got 39 tackles. He had 39 tackles last year, 20 pass breakups. That was tops in the league because people were testing him, and he talks a little smack. So They were trying to show him up, but it wasn't nothing happening over there. And so far, he's just got 7. So nobody's bothering with him because they know he's a good cover over there at cornerback. Now, Quinnen is, he was drafted 3rd overall in 2019. 44 tackles, 2 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, and 12 quarterback hits. He anchors things up front. And C.J. Mosley and his brother Quinnen handle the 2nd level. And Whitehead and Sauce handle the 3rd level of the defense. Special teams-wise, Morstead is their punter. And Greg the Leg Zerline is the kicker. And the kickoff and punt returner is Xavier Gibson with a P. Xavier Gibson. Now, the Jets average only 14.8 points a game. They're 30th in the league. They're the only teams worse are the New England Patriots at 13.5 and the New York Giants at 13.3. Tell of the tape wise, it's pretty easy to figure out what has to happen. Don't turn the ball over and run the football. That's the Falcons formula. It played out against the Saints. But they did turn the ball over, but Jesse Bates bailed him out with a 92-yard interception return and a punch out of a touchdown. You don't get them 2 plays, you probably don't win because you turned the ball over twice. So that was one of the reasons why Desmond Ridder was set down, and they still got to fix it. And the one way to fix it is, hey, don't throw the ball. And they didn't do it. On their last drive, they ran the ball 9 times right down their throat. And, they were able to come out of there, run some clock, and get a win. Now, entering the season last year, we were like, hey, he can throw to Drake London. Okay, and so now, Drake is still doing his thing. He had 7, and he could throw to Jonnu Smith. So that's what you do. I mean, they haven't been able to work Kyle Pitts in. He only got 2 catches, 2 targets last game for 22 yards. So, you drafted him 4th overall, but, he's not a big part of the offense right now. So, tell the tape-wise, and I'm saying that, they run the ball because, hey, look, it's clear. The Jets are giving up 140.3 yards rushing a game. That's 31st in the league, going against the number 4th rush offense, 139.3. So Jeff Ulbrich and Robert Saleh know that they're going to be trying to run it down their throat, so they'll sit in the box for that and try to make them throw. That'll be the cat and mouse game there. Now the Jets offense, we'll just go through these because they're in the bottom of everything. Yards, 260.2, 31st. Passing yards, 31st. Rushing yards, 27th. Points, 30th. Bottom quarter of the league. Last in time possession, 27.19. So everything they do on offense is the bottom of the league. Bottom, not even the bottom half. We can go to bottom quarter with them. So, and then defensively, their numbers don't look great because they're on the field too long. So, but they do stop the pass because they're 6th against the pass because nobody's passing because they can run. So that looks a little skewed, but overall it's 3.5 yards total yards. That's 15th in the league. That's the only thing that's in the top half of the league, that and the passing yards for them. So it's 8 out of the 10 categories there in the bottom half of the league, because I said the rushing's 31st, and then the points is 22nd, 21.6. So nothing on paper here suggests that the Falcons should lose to them. But, we that's the same thing with Minnesota and Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. So the Falcons can't take Tim Boyle lightly. They can't take the New York Jets lightly. They got to go in there and put together a game and get a win. And the Falcons they're the same. The passing and the points are the problems. 21st in passing, 22nd in points. And then on defensively, they're still 16th against the run. Even though they gave up 444 yards to the Saints last week, The defense numbers still look pretty good. The points, they're tied for 18th with 21.1. And the turnover differential, turnover takeaway differential did not get better. It's still minus 6, which is 26 in the league. The Jets are minus 1, so that's 17. That's the only way they can win, like Emmanuel said, is, you know, stop the Falcons, take the ball away, and try to field goal them to death like the Saints did. And if you don't have a 92-yard interception return and a punch out, you know, then they would have lost that game like 15-9 or something. So the margin of error is pretty slim right now, but that's where we are. The Falcons figured out how they got to play. They played with some spirit against the Saints, and they'll have to do that against the Jets up in New York. And just a couple more notes before we get out of here. Just a quick look at the NFC South, where Frank Reich was fired yesterday. And interim coach up in Carolina will be Chris Tabor. I'm starting to think it's the owner that's the problem up there. He should have hired Steve Wilks and drafted C.J. Stroud. You know, there's never been a quarterback that small in the NFL. You're going to make your mistakes. It's like the old NBA axiom. Make them with the big people. He didn't do it. So it's going to be interesting. They had a funky conference today, too, where they didn't let Scott Fowler from the Charlotte Observer ask any questions just because he's been challenging the owner's moves and his fandom and, you know, whether they're going to be any good with him moving forward. So we'll keep an eye on that. And shout out to Scott Fowler for asking the tough questions up there in the Queen City. All right. The Falcons are in first place at 5-6. They're at the Jets, 4-7. The Saints are 5-6, 1-2 in the division. They play the Lions, who are mad because they got beat by the Packers. Coach Kneecaps is going to have the boys ready to play. It's going to be a tough one for the Saints. Then the Bucks play Carolina. You know, Carolina's 1-10. The Bucks are 4-7. So I heard somebody in the Falcons building say, well, maybe they'll get that new coach bump and go out and play for Coach Tabor and take down the Bucks. So that'll give the Falcons some breathing room if the Panthers can do that. So keep an eye on that. All right. And lastly, before we get out of here, two notes. This is the series history note, the 14th meeting between the Falcons, and the Falcons lead the series 8-5. The last meeting was that 27-20 win, October the 10th, 2021 at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Well, I love that venue. Been there for a soccer match and a football game and a football game. Well, they call it football over there. And then we went for American football. And but another thing here to watch this week, the Falcons are 1-4 on the road this year. They haven't been able to figure out the road. So we'll see if they can figure it out when they go up to the Jets on Sunday. And just the last note on that 27-20 game, it was, you know, a Kyle Pitts coming out game. I think it was his first 100-yard game. Over there against the Jets, the Falcons went up 23 and then cruised to the 27-20 win over the Jets. Zach Wilson was at the controls. They got Timmy Boyle this week. And, you know, the Falcons are in first place in the NFC South. So we'll see if they can maintain that, if they can build on the fine outing they had against the New Orleans Saints. They ran the ball effectively. And got some turnovers from Jesse Bates. Gave up a lot of yards between the 20s. So if you can cut that down, that would be helpful for the defense. So we got a good good information here to help us get ready for this game between the Falcons, 5-6, and the New York Jets, who are 4-7, but not to be played with. That's a salty defense. So you know, Falcons gonna have to take care of business and earn a W up there against the Jets on Sunday at 1 p.m. at MetLife Stadium. So for now, you all take care and have a great rest of your week.
Hip hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip hop.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.